Thank you, and a very pleasant good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Gary Colley, evangelist of the Begetwell Church of Christ here in Memphis, Tennessee. And it's always a joy and a pleasure to meet with you each Sunday morning at this same time by means of this radio broadcast. We're grateful that you're listening. We're hopeful that you'll invite a friend to listen also. And in our studies, we're hopeful that you have time to open your Bible and write down some scriptures so that you'll want to see those things clearly that we speak on the program. Our desire is to answer the questions that men have concerning spiritual matters, eternal matters. And as we think along these lines, we realize the importance which we have in the work that we're doing. We're so grateful that we have the opportunity to speak to you wherever you're listening, and we're hopeful that we will be able to enlighten you in those things that are right and good. The psalmist said, "The opening of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Psalms 119, verse 130. Jesus said in Luke 24:46-47, that thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the beginning place of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, the place where Christ's church began. And that's what we're to look for. That's what we're to be interested in, because in none other is there salvation except in the name of Christ, Acts 4 and verse 12. And Paul said, "If any man preach any other gospel to you than that which we, the apostles, have preached to you, let him be accursed." And as I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing, then, to have the Bible, the truth. We do not have to worry about whether or not error is going to overtake us, as long as we know the truth. "Ye shall know the truth," Jesus said, "and the truth shall make you free." Freedom is a wonderful word, isn't it? And in our nation, we celebrate freedom. And July the 4th, which is soon to come, is a day celebrated because of freedom. And we rejoice in the great country in which we live and the hope that we have of living free in order that we may serve God in an acceptable manner. So we're delighted that we have this opportunity. And, of course, we want to remember the words of our Lord, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, it is sad to see men who, if they're not satisfied with God's divine will, make their own will. They make their own creed, and they live by those things which that creed says. Every person has a creed. The word creed simply means, "I believe." And everyone who's ever lived has had a religious creed of some kind which they followed and with which they have lived their life. One, of course, of the creeds is a summation of the teaching which constitutes the principles and opinions that are professed or adhered to or followed in this life by a person. Too many have followed their feelings, I'm afraid. And yet there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways of that is the way of death. We don't want to walk in that, and so we don't want to follow our feelings or our opinions. We need to follow the blood-sealed New Testament of Jesus Christ. You know, in Matthew 26:28, he said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The creed of the churches of Christ is not a man-made or human origin, but it's simply the New Testament doctrine that was confessed by Peter when he said, "I believe that thou art the Son of the living God." That, of course, is the confession each of us must make in order to enter the Lord's church. In Matthew 16:16-18, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, upon that rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven, loosed upon earth shall be loosed in heaven." In Acts 8:36-38, when the eunuch heard the word of God from the mouth of Philip, he said, "Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What stands in my way of obedience being fulfilled to my Lord? And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Half-hearted belief is not good enough, is it, friend? But we must believe with all of our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and our Savior. So that's what he confessed. That's the reason. Philip said, "Stop the chariot." They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. They came up out of the water. Philip was caught away by the Spirit of God, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He was rejoicing in the forgiveness of his sins, just as you can do when you submit in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not only understand to acknowledge Christ's authority in heaven and on earth in our confession, but that brings us to enter the Lord's church. It is unto salvation. In Romans the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10, there he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is a vow, that we respect the authority of our Lord and our Savior in all that we say and do. He has all authority, you know, Matthew 28:18. And in Colossians 3:16-17, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Therefore, we seek to speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. Call Bible things by Bible names, and do Bible things in Bible ways. 1 Peter 4:11, that, my friends, will bring freedom to you. Freedom from sin, freedom from error. It'll bring freedom from false worship. It'll bring you to the blessings and the hope of heaven. Saving faith comes, of course, by hearing and doing the will of the Father in heaven. And hearing must come from but one source, that being the inerrant, verbally inspired Word of God. For faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. And without faith, it's impossible to please him, Hebrews 11:6. When one says, I believe in the religious matters of the world, in actuality, he's under obligation to show the teaching he accepts in and from the Bible. If he cannot show those things from the Bible, then what he says, I believe in, is really not true. He has an opinion, he has a thought, but he doesn't have the Bible, and he cannot say truly, I believe. You know, the doctrines of men have certainly led men astray. Doctrine simply means teaching, and hence the teaching of God, Christ, and the apostles, as well as that of men or the devil, means their teaching. The Bible is the unique book of the doctrine of Christ and of God. So 1 Timothy 6:1. It is the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9:11. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if any man come unto you and bring not this doctrine, do not invite him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. Man-made creeds, then, my friends, are not equal with the New Testament doctrine. The New Testament doctrine is right. Man-made creeds are wrong. And so, the teaching of God, the teaching of Christ, the teaching of the apostles, all are singular in the Bible. And their teaching is always spoken of in that way. Doctrine, never doctrines. Paul wrote to Timothy that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. But the doctrines of men and of devils are always referred to in the plural number. When Paul told Timothy to preach the word, he said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. In Matthew 15:9, he said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for their doctrines the commandments of men. In Colossians 2:20-22, he said, you're not to taste it, handle it, or touch it, not those things which shall perish with the using after the doctrines and commandments of men. You see, God has but one doctrine, or one body of truth, and his doctrine has been delivered in the Bible by the Holy Spirit. He speaks expressly and clearly and plainly by that Spirit, 1 Timothy 4:1. But the devil comes sometimes with a bold lie, but usually with a great deal of truth mixed with a little falsehood. And thus we read of the devil tempting Eve by changing only one small word from what God actually said. Satan said, thou shalt not surely die, while God said, in the day that thou eatest of this tree, thou shalt surely die. You see, the man-made creeds of our day have gone much further in changing God's word than what was done by the devil in the Garden of Eden. It should cause us to ask, why do souls leave the teaching of Christ? Why do men thank God for religious division in the world? Why would anyone teach that we can have unity in diversity? You know, Christ's teaching built the church. The Catholic denomination wants to tell the world that their church produced and great to the world that brought the Bible. However, Jesus said inspired men gave them his word to bring the church into existence. Ephesians 2, verse 5 through 16, Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 15, John 16 and verse 8. Now, the varied and many doctrines of men stand in stark contrast, my friends, to the one doctrine of Christ. The Lord's church is not a part of a conglomerate of religious made-up, man-made creeds. And if you have that creed, and many people don't know they do, but there is a creed for these denominations as a general rule. But Jesus came into the world for the purpose of establishing his church, our kingdom, through which men could be saved eternally. And he told the apostles, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Upon this rock, Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church, not my churches, not my denominations, but upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven, loosed upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, my friends, note the fact that his church is not a part or a denomination of anything. Denomination is a part of something. A quarter, a nickel, a dime, a penny are denominations of a dollar. But they're not a dollar. No, this is not to be said about his church. It's not just a part of anything man has made, but it's the complete organization in the plan of salvation, in the worship and the work. And the New Testament makes it evident that he did not come to make the world religious, not just to establish another religion. No, no, his teaching makes it positively sure, my friends, that his way was the only way. His truth is the only truth for the lost world. And the life he offered is the only sacrifice for the benefit of those who need relief from their sins. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, walking in the steps is the life, directing man to heaven. John 14:6, as we noticed, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one cometh unto the Father but by me. At the close of the Sermon on the Mount, you remember the preamble of the kingdom of heaven, that Sermon on the Mount, greatest sermon that was ever preached. The Bible says it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Not doctrines now, but his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as did the scribes. Matthew 7, verse 28, 29. Well, these people realized the religious scribes were no match for the teachings of our Lord, and they were halting in their teaching, unsure of their authority. And thus the people, when they heard Christ, were astonished at his doctrine. They saw the danger of following man-made doctrines then, didn't they? Rather than that which Jesus spoke, they realized that to follow those man-made things would not lead them where they wanted to go. They saw in his teaching the duties, the motives, and heaven's authority. And he said the wise man would hear his sayings and do them, while the foolish man would hear but fail to carry out his commands. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. He said, if we build our house on other teachings than the Lord's, then we're going to fall. Our house will fail. A fool is one who acts contrary to right reasoning. And here he said, the fool builds his house on a foundation of sand. Well, that won't stand, will it, friend? Not at all. But the foundation of rock will stand. You know, to turn from the teaching of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, in order to follow man-made creeds, causes one to make himself a fool. Now, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool also rejects God's teaching for his own teaching. And they are the robbers of life, too. Did you know it? Those who would teach something different from the Lord's teaching. The teaching or the doctrines made by men will rob unsuspecting men of their eternal inheritance. That's what he said in 2 John verse 9 through 11, wasn't it? He said, don't you invite them into your house, neither bid them Godspeed, for he that biddeth them Godspeed is partaker of their evil deeds. You see, these false teachers may be followed for different purposes. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Generally, of course, it seems that these men and their followers do so for money or for prestige. But whatever be their cause, those who follow them are following blind guides. Jesus further says, beware of false prophets, that is, false teachers, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits, that is, by their doctrines, by their conduct. He further warns, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, Matthew 7, verse 15 through 19. In like manner, Jesus taught his disciples that every plant or teaching which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up, Matthew 15 and verse 13. My friends, he didn't say it would be cut off at the top, nor cut off at the ground, but every teaching is going to be rooted up that has not been in harmony with the will of God. So an addition, any addition, or subtraction to the Word of God given by Christ is subject to condemnation, isn't it? Again, Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the tree of life and out of the holy city. No, my friends, it will not be just trimmed of those false doctrines, but it'll be rooted up. However, Paul wrote of that kingdom established by Christ in his teaching, which would stand when all the doctrines of men shall fall. He said in Hebrews 12, 28, 29, having received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing unto God with reverence and with awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Well, Christ, of course, while he was upon the earth, prayed for unity. He prayed for those who would receive his word, that they would be one. The beautiful prayer that's prayed by the Lord of glory. He pled for unity upon his teaching, didn't he? In John 17, verse 20 and 21, Jesus said, neither for these only do I pray, but is the apostles, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, Father, as thou art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. How sad that men don't respect the Lord's prayer. No, they do not listen. They are not living in unity. They say, oh, unity in diversity is fine. You believe your way and I believe my way. We'll all go to the same place. But friend, that's not true, is it? We're not all going to the same place. If we follow the doctrines of men instead of the doctrine of Christ, then we're not going to have unity, and we're not going to speak the same thing. So this beautiful prayer, prayed by the Lord of glory, he pled for unity upon his teaching. He certainly desired that all men be in the one body, the church of Christ, the kingdom of God, the household of God, over which he rules his head. You know, Ephesians 1, 22, 23, God put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He purchased that body, the church, with his own blood. In Acts 20, 28, he said to those elders over at Ephesus, take heed unto yourselves, and unto the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. After my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Ah, it's happened, hasn't it, friend? Yes, indeed. That hierarchy of the Catholic Church has drawn away people from the truth and from the simple organization of elders and deacons, preachers and teachers in the Lord's Church. Well, he purchased that with his blood. It's still his. And he built it with his teaching. It's still his. And you know what? He promised to come back and save those who are in that body, take them to heaven. In John 14, 1 through 6, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I shall return again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go, ye may know the way. Indeed, we do know the way, don't we? Because it's taught in His Word. In Ephesians 5:23, the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. My friend, that's singular, isn't it? Just like His doctrine is singular, so also is His church. So He gave the reason for His prayer, that they may all be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. When we have the religious division, it causes so many people to be lost, because they say, if you people can't agree on what the Bible says, how do you expect me to understand it? Well, my friends, you can't understand it, first of all. In fact, Ephesians 5:15-17 says, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. But be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You can't understand it. You must read it. You must not read it through colored glasses of denominationalism, but you must read it desiring to know the truth. So Jesus realized that all men would not accept His teaching, especially where false teaching and division existed. He said, this people's hearts are waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, and lest happily they shall see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn again, and I will heal them. But also He knew that others would follow false teachers too. Those who made man-made creeds, man-made doctrines that would deceive and condemn the innocent souls with false security. He therefore instructs all to search. He said, you know the Scriptures, or you search the Scriptures, because in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that bear witness of me, but ye will not come to me that you may have life. He not only instructs us to search, my friends, He wants us to study. In 2 Timothy 2:15, He said, study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know, we ought to be like those noble Bereans. They received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them also believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of the men, not a few, according to Acts 17:11-12. Well, you know, some separate and speculate those things which the Lord has taught in their own ways. They will not have the blessings of God, because some speculate that the Lord will have a problem when He returns for His own people. He knows the difference, my friends, in man-made creeds and New Testament doctrine. You can rest assured He does. The Lord will have no problem knowing His people, His church, from those who have made man-made creeds. You know, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Yes, He's coming back. Yes, He's going to reward the faithful with eternal life. He's going to take us into that eternal city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you ready? Have you obeyed the truth? Are you walking in the doctrine of Christ? Now, you know, Paul condemned division, and that in no uncertain terms. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, by His authority, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. I hope that strikes home to those who have caused division. They should not do so. The inspired apostle would not have commanded something that was impossible, would he? Nor improper. But he pled with the Corinthian brethren by the authority of Christ that they would not be divided into factions and sects. The denominational world is woefully divided because many refuse to endure sound doctrine. They choose rather to turn unto fables. 2 Timothy 4:1-3. It seems that people pay little attention to the Lord and His teaching. We must take heed to our doctrine, my friends, or teaching. Very important that we do so. Be sure that it's God's Word, since inspiration says, in so doing this, we will save ourselves and them that hear us, 1 Timothy 4:16. Let us not change the message. Let us speak the things which befit sound doctrine. Titus 2 and verse 1 instructs us to do so. And again, Paul writes, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. The things, that's an important word, the word things. The things spoken of in this verse refer to the facts, the promises, the precepts, the threatenings of the gospel, those things which are revealed in the gospel. Notice it again. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So these facts and promises and precepts, the threatenings of the gospel of punishment revealed in the gospel, the Lord will have no problem knowing his people, but he will know man-made creeds. And you know, all men need to learn that error is not just as good as truth. Men-made creeds are going to be put down in the day of judgment. They'll be rooted up. They're not to be compared or preferred above the doctrine of the New Testament. No more is this true than a counterfeit $20 bill would be considered as a good, genuine $20 bill. If I had two bills and I held them out to you, both of them said $20 on them, but I said, this in my right hand is a genuine bill, but this in my left hand is a counterfeit, which would you choose? Oh, you know which one you would choose. There's no doubt about it. You don't want the counterfeit. You don't want the one that just looks like the right thing. You want the right thing. And that's what it is with the doctrine of Christ, my friends. The blood seal New Testament will save the obedient soul eternally. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, he said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being then made free from sin, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that will obey him. He's not the author of eternal salvation to any others, but those who will obey him in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, he'll save them. Been good to be with you today. Be with us in our services at the Get Well Church of Christ today. Bible study begins at 9:30. You still have time to prepare and come and be with us. And then, of course, worship service at 10:20 and 5 p.m. tonight. We're going to look for you. We hope you'll come. Then each Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. But until we meet you then, or by means of this broadcast next Lord's Day, we now bid you a pleasant good morning.